Yo, internet, it's your boys. It's your boys back at it again. What is it, episode number three? Four.
Four.
Oh, shit. We aren't even near double digits, and I lost count already.
We're already there.
Oh, man. I'm Wes Gardner, Comedy to Hobo. And that right there is Mr. Marco Flores. Yes, I'm just going to call you the boxing champion already. You're just a champ. The champ is here. Oh, Marco geez. Flores over in the red corner. He's here, man.
I guess. I'm trying.
I guess. I'm trying, the humble champ of Marco Flores.
I'm trying to be the James Ellsworth of boxing.
Right. Any guy with two hands has a fighting chance, right?
Fighting chance.
That's right. Oh, that's so funny. He's like he's like this generation's Barry Horowitz or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I love him.
Yeah, he's the Brooklyn Brawler. He's
my fantasy booking already is James Ellsworth versus Gilbert in a serious in promotion, but like everybody just knows it's like it's a joke, but everybody wants to see it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
They need to bring back that hardcore belt, the one that's all duct taped together.
Yeah. Right.
It'd be good. Just relabel it, call it the Jobber Belt or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be so good.
Because Raw needs their own like fan favorite jobber or like indie, or whatever. Yeah, indie worker or jobber. Raw needs their own version. James Ellsworth debuted on Raw, but SmackDown took him.
That's right. And I like how they're handling him too.
Yeah.
They're like making him part of major storylines, but he's just kind of there like, whoa, why wacky?
Yeah, right.
Like, he super kicks AJ outside of the ring and like nails it too. Like, it was a good super kick. And then the ref is like, wait a minute. Are you working for Dean Ambrose? And then disqualifies him, and he has like, that.
No.
He has that wacky, like, brah, 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 like, look on his face. He just shrugs. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't believe what I did.
Whoa! Like, kazoo's playing in the background. Pew, rip. Oh, it's so good. I need to buy that shirt just with his face on it.
I do too. Oh. I want this pro wrestling t-shirt.
Speaking of t-shirts, I probably Friday or so, whenever I go to the gym next, I'm going to wear my new Randy Savage t-shirt. I got a new Macho Man. Dude, it's bright yellow. It's like it's like security. Yeah, security cone yellow. And it has a picture of Macho Man in his zebra fruit stripe like outfit, and he's pointing at his bicep. That's all it is. Is he's big smile, and I'm like, I need this shirt. So to tie into our first little story, if you guys follow me on Twitter, which you should follow both of us on Twitter, by the way, twitter.com/comedyhobo for mine, and twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. So if you're not doing that, you should. You should be a, what did I call it last week? A Rudy Tootie Cowboy. Rudy Tootie Cowboy. Just be cool and just follow us on that Twitter. But I posted that I ruined some kid's life because I talked about Walking Dead spoilers in public. And okay, and before we got started recording, I was like, okay, Marco, straight up, I'm like 50-50. 50% of me feels like an asshole because I'm a nerd. Mm-hmm. I understand the whole thing. But now I'm a little older. We're a little wiser. It's like, if you were that big of a fan, you'd have watched it. You know? Like, DVR, sure, but it's been 3-4 days. Like, and plus, this kid was maybe 16, 17-ish, maybe. I'm bad with ages. He could have been 30. I don't know. But
you straight up telltaled him. Like, he will remember this.
Yeah. This is a thing that he guaranteed went to school the next day and was like, some fucking fat bald guy ruined Walking Dead in the t-shirt aisle of fucking Walmart.
He's complaining as he's flipping the water bottles.
He's flipping water bottles. That's right. And they're playing Minecraft on their tablets.
Yeah.
Like, what do the kids do these days? I don't know. But so we're there, and I'm not going to spoil it here on the podcast, so don't worry. But I said, oh, here's a person that died, and kind of the they came back and it's the new season and whatever. Here's a person that died, and like you know, my fiance's with me, and I could tell because I didn't quite see the kid. Like, so I'm gonna make this excuse, but I didn't quite see because it's a big, it's a Walmart. It's fucking. There's a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't know how close proximity he was.
You encountered people at Walmart.com, kid.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not taking tallies, but also, but to be fair, on the other side, on the 50% side of me being a dick, I said it pretty loud. Like I wasn't whispering this spoiler. I wasn't like, babe, do you know who? No, I was like, guess what happened on Walking Dead? Like how I'm talking to you right now. Yeah, oh, do you know who died? This person died.
And you went off the cuff. Like, you didn't even care where the location was. You just straight up told her, like, hey, babe.
Yeah, oh. Because, we saw, like, a Walking Dead shirt, and we've seen, like, I think 2.5 seasons of it and stuff. It did. I was like, oh, by the way, on this show we don't watch, guess who died? But here's the deal. I knew who died, and I don't fucking watch it. So how is this kid some super mega fan? What are you talking about? Like, no. I understand like the whole blackout mentality. Like, no, I'm just gonna go on radio silence, and I'm not gonna get any spoilers. But the show came on. Like, it's been 3-4 days.
Yeah, you can't be blacked out for that long period of time and try to go on like social media or like even just anywhere at this point.
Like, everybody's watching guaranteed Walking Dead.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that kid was in the demographic to be on Reddit all day. Like, that kid lives on Reddit. So...
Exactly.
He didn't get spoiled. Like, I'm the guy that did it. But, you know what? You live and you learn.
He's going to make a thread and he's going to ask for, like... what do you get? The, like, pluses or something on Reddit?
Oh, the upvotes? What is it?
Upvotes, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know all the vernacular. We are getting too old. Like, they each have their own dumb reward system. The pat on the back.
Yeah.
Put the picture on your mom's fridge.
We're getting back to episode 2.
Right, back in our day, we didn't have upvotes. We played with a stick outside. That's all we did.
Dude, yeah. So on my end, like on the day of the, I guess, the episode, or maybe the day after, everybody's like, you know, still trying to follow the rules. But like a couple days afterwards, the guy that's on a trip is in Switzerland. He logs onto Facebook. He's like, I can't believe everybody's spoiling Walking Dead, you know, spoilers. I was like, well, first of all, you just can't do that. You can't, like, I guess he's like, he's either behind or he's trying to black out himself. And maybe phone reception's not so great. But like, right. Dude, you make that choice of, you know, going on the social media and like, you're going to see that regardless, you know, even if people are trying to, you know, follow the rules or be a dick about it, you're just going to see it. And like I was like that when it came to like wrestling pay-per-views. Like I don't want to know like who won or what whatever. But like it like the day of or every time like 100% of the time, I always just want to know like okay I need to know what's going on, right?
Yes.
Like I don't care how the match or I don't care about results at this point. I just want to know like what's going on and if there's any kind of surprises.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, whatever, it's fine at this point.
Yeah, I've kind of succumbed to the fact that, like, the world is different even than it was 10 years ago in regards to, like, TV spoilers and... Because it was easier to keep that stuff secret then.
Yeah.
But now, there's not a lot of secrets. And I mean, especially...
access to everything.
And the ratings on this Walking Dead premiere, 17 million people.
Yep.
17 million? I found the one kid at fucking Walmart that didn't see it. Really? Like, come on.
Exactly.
17 million.
Only that's you nuts. In Texas.
It beat out Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
All of it. Like, it's huge.
Yeah. That's pretty big. Considering. Like,
and this is kind of key times, you know. This is prepping up for seeing who's going to be decent enough to get to playoffs and we're kind of in the heat of it, but 17 million?
Yeah.
That's outrageous, man.
I actually saw a meme, like, almost right away. I need to grab the photo. But go ahead and keep talking.
Oh, yeah. Right, but that, right. All this stuff, there's, like, live animated GIFs on Twitter as it happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do they get that? But
Yeah. There was like a dance sequence where like it's just most likely like a Korean like pop like music video, but it was like
Right.
like five guys dancing with like a baseball bat and it's all his face.
It's Negan's face.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all, I
Making
mean, it's just like a meme generator, like just everything
yeah.
nowadays. And but I mean, to be fair, you know, we're talking about, oh, stay away from social media. He was, because he was shopping in a Walmart. Like, he was
Hey.
out just on his day to day, and then some guy announces, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And then he was pretty chill about it. He was like, no, it's okay. One of my friends probably would have ruined it anyway.
Hey.
I mean, he said that, and I was like, all
Well,
right, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but you know, I don't like to be that guy. I don't like to
yeah,
be
they're in
the,
picture.
yeah, there's a spoiler guy, and
And he has
yeah.
this. I saw his bat. I was like, that's a pretty skinny baseball
Yeah.
bat with barbed wire,
Yeah,
isn't it?
that's no Mick Foley bat we're talking about here. This
Yeah,
is
that's what I was
a
thinking.
tight
It was
deal.
already a meme picture. It was like, I think he was saying something serious, and then like on the bottom is Mick Foley saying pansy or pussy or whatever, with like the steroid version of a barbed wire bat.
Yeah, just the insane, like, people in the back row need to see this barbed wire. So let me
Yeah.
put 8 gallons of it. You know, like a huge amount of barbed wire. But yeah,
Yeah.
but it is true. I guess the guy that plays one of the memes that I've seen is because the guy that plays Negan played the dad in Supernatural. And
Yeah.
apparently the dad in Supernatural has pictures of himself growing up being like a big baseball star. And it says
Okay,
like,
connecting dots.
oh yeah, Supernatural spoiled Walking Dead, you know,
Walking
6 years
Dead.
later.
Yeah.
But
Dude.
yeah, so I mean, I kind of get the spoiler thing. So shout out to that kid for being a trooper, dealing with my dumbass spoiling
Get
shit in
there
public.
goes your segment of fame.
Yeah, right. This I had my shining glimpse of being the people's champ, and then ended up ruining kids' dreams. I'm like
Yeah.
Doink the Clown, making kids cry, bro, making kids cry.
Oh man. Oh man, if Doink is around for all those clown like videos you see lately.
Oh man, why don't they jump off? Oh my gosh, James, the what's his face? The
There's a
I
lot
want to
of
say,
Doinks.
the yeah, God, there's like six of them.
Because
But get,
the original one die already?
yeah. Oh my God, what was his name?
Ryan, I think.
Buh,
I don't remember.
yes, he. I remember him because he's super pissed at Kevin Nash, or he was,
Oh.
because Kevin Nash called wrestling fake. And then he went on this big long thing like, I can't believe you would say the F word. And
Yeah.
you would, my dad's not fake and I'm not fake. Like, he went on this whole tirade and it was kind of sad. And then someone like called Kevin Nash out about it. And they're like, Kevin, do you feel bad? Like, you know, do you respect this guy? 'Cause, you know, at least he's taking it serious and, you know, it's a family tradition. And he was like, no. I don't respect that at all. He's like, sometimes you just gotta smarten up and realize the world isn't flat. And you
Yeah.
know,
Oh
and I'm
man,
like,
flat earthers.
I'm with you, man. Yeah, it's like I'm kind of smarting up. I mean,
Yeah, man.
people realize it's fake since like the 20s. Like, people knew the shit was fake way back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you got a worker that's in there and he's being the biggest mark in the room, well, what we do is real, damn it. And you're like, come on, man. Like, come
Okay,
on.
well, okay, I'm not gonna be, it's still real to me, damn it, but like there's a degree of fakery,
Well, it's
right? Because
predetermined. Yeah,
it's
predetermined
predetermined, sure.
is a
But
better deal because it's all the work and it's
there's ways where they throw punches or how they have angles of how to take the hit. Like
yeah.
literally wrestling, professional wrestling in a martial arts style is a way to take a hit,
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
So how to sell it and how to take a hit. So by proxy, like I believe wrestlers are like literally like the toughest people in the world. Because
I agree with
I
that.
don't
I
understand how
agree.
these MMA guys, how they're fighters, right? I don't know how these MMA guys are trying to like talk smack to these wrestlers, because 300 plus days a year, they are taking, like, you know, however fake you think the hits are,
yeah,
they're taking those hits, like whether it's like, you know, table spots or like actual, you know, fist getting thrown
sure
at each other. Because a good example is Nakamura versus Kota Ibushi, where it almost became a real fight.
It was a shoot at some point, and anything Nagata does, and like Shibata, and like those guys just go, and you're like, oh my god. You know? And they come from an MMA background. Like all these guys have fought professionally. So, and I'm with you. And I mean, even you get guys coming from the NFL combine, you get guys that have done like European strongman stuff, and then they cannot even pass the first like 2 weeks of boot camp for WWE. Mm-hmm. They can't do it. They're like, you guys are insane. It's just a different type of being in shape. So I think that they work incredibly hard. And like, it's some of the stiffest work in the world. And that's why you get guys, you know, breaking necks all the time. And like, it's just, it's a tough gig. But I think I more, the older I get and, you know, the longer like we watch it and stuff, I think I'm more enamored with the work side of it. Like, now I totally get why John Cena is the biggest thing in the world. Like, of course he is, because that fucker never gets hurt. And then also, if he does get hurt, he's back in 30 minutes. Like, you know what I mean? My arm broke in four places. Well, be back next week. And you're like, this guy's an animal. Like, how could he? He's Wolverine. Yeah. He's like real life Wolverine. He heals like nobody's business. So, of course, they'd keep putting the belt on him, because he's the only guy you can rely on. Because whenever he gets hurt, he'll be back in 2 months. You know, it won't be a year and a half wait.
Yeah, same thing with The Miz. Like, you know, like as the storyline was being pushed, like his style doesn't look that fun, but he can do it all the time,
because it's not
too risky. You know, it's like a heelish style, and like
yes,
in this day and age where everybody loves, or like, you know, the smart people love heels, he actually plays his role correctly.
He does it. Yes, he does it so well.
Like, people hate him because he's the bad guy.
He does it so well that the smarks don't like him. Like, he's such a good heel that, you know what I mean? It's like, who's the actress that plays, Cersei Lannister or whatever on Game of Thrones, who's like the most evil bitch in the world? People won't go to her autograph table. Like, if she sets up at the booth, like, they won't go see it because they're like so mad at her because of what she did. And I'm like, what a genius actress. Like, you play that shit so well, people don't even want to meet you in real life. Like, you are on another level. Like, she is queen heel. And that's amazing.
Or even if you can get over that part, they'll go to the table to get insulted, but they'll love it because it's in the character of Queen Cersei. Like, please, please, like, insult me, you know, and then she'll just spout out something. It's like, yes, I love it. I love it.
Right. Or like, you know, asking Denzel Washington to punch you in the face.
Right.
You know, it's like, I just got socked by the toughest guy in Hollywood. You know, like, you have that's sort of the deal. But yeah, it's like, now I really appreciate the beauty of the work of like, can they tell a story without hurting each other? And there's something really cool about that, to where, yes, no, Ric Flair can still do it. Ric Flair can still go, because all he does is poke people in the eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, he low blows a few times. He does the slaps. He can work with anyone in the world at any point, at any time. And that dude's approaching 80 years old. He's still better than 95% of the talent out there, because he gets
and he'll bleed everywhere.
Like a stuck pig, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like, but he gets it. Like, he's just, he is the man, because he knows that business so well. He doesn't even need to go out and like, he can work hurt. He can have broken ribs. He'll go out there and he'll still do exactly the same match that he would have without it. And that's a good worker. Like, that's someone you want to root for. And that's why that business is so interesting. It's like, everyone knows that it's predetermined, and everyone knows that they're not really hurting each other. You know, the whole point of a wrestler is to do a move in such a way that the other person takes their own bump. Mm-hmm. So, like, you don't give them a vertical suplex. You position their body to where they can flat back out of a vertical suplex. Like, right. You're propping them up to take a bump. And then they take their own bump. Yes. Yeah. So they take their own bump. So anytime you're throwing someone into the ropes, like, okay, number one thing, and all the old-timer guys will say this too, if we wanted wrestling to look real, why the fuck does anyone get thrown into the ropes and then bounce back?
Irish whip.
Yeah. Who? Why? Grab onto the ropes, and then you stop the momentum. That's the biggest shoot thing you could possibly do. But it's only a heel move, right? That's only what heels do. So it's a work. Like, the whole thing's a work. The fact that they have championship belts is a work. It's the same thing as, like, saying, you know, the only time, and it was great because I remember I told my fiance this, and I wasn't I was expecting it to happen, but I didn't think it would happen so immediately. It was for the Andre the Giant Battle Royale thing, and they have that big-ass trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Britt, the only reason they ever have trophies in wrestling is just so someone will come out and break it. And then they'll be like, you broke my trophy! And not 5 minutes later, someone fucking comes out and kicks it down. And then he's like, what, my trophy? And I'm like, this is, any wedding is going to get interrupted. Any trophy, like, that's all it is. It's like, they put up these things, like a championship belt, so the person can lose it. Like, that's the only reason to even have it, is to have someone win it just to lose it.
Right.
And that's that's pro wrestling right there. Like, you get thrown in the ropes, you bounce back, and then you get a fake belt, and then you lose it, and then you win it again, and then you're done. Like, that's the whole business of 50, 70 storied years of professional wrestling. Like, you gotta come in knowing that, you know, DDT Pro, that stuff where Kota Ibushi shoots fireworks at people, is the same type of business that, like, WWE and ECW and all these hardcore, like, I'm really gonna punch this guy in the face. Why, man? We gotta work tomorrow. I don't want to go to work if I'm getting punched in the face every day.
So you reminded me of, when you said DDT Pro, you reminded me of the GIFs I was watching back then of their outside matches. So, like, they'll have matches outside, like, in like a camp place, and, like, they'll do the moves, they'll hit each other and all that. They'll use anything in the environment. I think I saw, like, one GIF where, like, the guy was down and he's, like, you know, he's trying to recover, try to get up, and then one of the wrestlers got like those carts, like, kind of like taxi carts, where you're running and you're holding the cart, and there's people on seats.
Right,
he gets this cart and he lines him up, and then he runs towards the guy lying down. Of course, he runs over him, but everybody's like, "Yeah!"
My
super ridiculous.
My favorite ones is, there was a match, I can't even remember who was in it. I want to say it was back in the day, so it may have been like El Generico and you know, Sami Zayn now, but and someone, it may have been like Kota Ibushi, but they were playing on a playground. And these little kids were on swings. So what one of the guys does is, like, gets the little kid, and just like it's a parent, like, pushing their kid on the swing, lined up his opponent next to where the kid swinging would kick the guy in the face. Right. So it spends 3 minutes setting this thing up. So, like, they punch the guy to wear him out, to stand him in the spot. So then the little kid is laughing. So then they put the little laughing kid on the swing. They back him up and let go, and then he kicks him. And then, of course, the guy sells it like he just got catapulted out of it. He's like, and, like, backflips off, and it's so dumb. But I was like, that's pro wrestling. Like, to me, that is what it's about.
It's about telling the story. Like one more thing. So El Generico, they're, like, again, they're in the camp setting. They're, I think it was like a tag team match. I think it was like El Generico and Kota Ibushi against two other people. So Generico, like, runs off, like, away from where the fighting is, because he had to go take a leak. So he's trying to do it, right? But the fight gradually goes toward where El Generico goes.
Oh, no. So,
like, because El Generico's wearing a mask, he has to animate like, oh, you know, like what he's saying or feeling. So as his fight goes towards him, and I guess he was like mid leak because he was like, oh my gosh, I'm still going. What are you guys doing? So he's like super adjusting himself, and then I believe he got hit, but like pretty sure he wasn't finished taking a leak while the fight was going towards him.
Oh no.
So much. I was like, yeah, this is wrestling. This is what I love.
It's so good. And like it's just, it's so dumb. Like you look at all of it and like I love it so much with all of my heart, but you know it's stupid. Like, and I think that's the point you have to get to, because the people trying to take it super hardcore and serious, it's like, it's a bunch of marks, man. It's like, you got to have fun with it or else what the hell's the point? So then you'll get these guys that, you know, these internet guys that are all, what they really need to do is just make everybody be just like Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens actually, yes, Kevin Owens actually isn't a good example, because I think he's kind of a genius in doing the funny stuff as well. But
he's good in what he's given, like in terms of what's going on with Raw. Because Raw is not, you know, a 3-hour show, but you know, I generally feel like there's a better way of using the time that's given to them.
Yeah.
But like the highlights are usually like, Jericho and Kevin Owens. I still like the New Day. They're not waning on me, but like, it's not like it's getting old, but like, I guess I'm starting to feel it. Like it's starting to become the same, but
yeah, I'm still okay with New Day. Like a New Day, the thing with them is, the nice thing about them is they can very easily turn heel with that gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really easily.
Go back to where they were before.
Yeah. And then be like, all of you people are you're just joking around too much. And really, like, ham it up for the heels. They can definitely do that. But, you know, there's differences in Raw and SmackDown as far as storytelling. And, like, so they have a lot of the writers on SmackDown that did write for NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that vibe is sort of like that. And then with the addition of Talking Smack after SmackDown, it's genius because now you get to do that weird line between what's kayfabe and what's shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Daniel Bryan went off on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, I guess yesterday. He said something like, we're having 3 main events and all the main events are a Hell in a Cell match. Why not make it a 10-hour show and we'll do 45 Hell in a Cell matches and everyone will be the galactic champion. Like he went off on this big, he did. And it made me laugh. Right. Because now the Hell in a Cell is not this like foreboding thing. Cause man, I remember back in the day, the Hell in a Cell scared people. Like, whenever Taker would mention the Hell in a Cell, and you're like, oh, shit. Because you had that Shawn Michaels match where he fell off the side. You got the Mick Foley match where he fell off the top and then threw the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there was this precedent that this thing is going to take a decade off your career. Mm-hmm. But now it's just like, oh, we're going to sometimes hit you into the cage. And then we'll just pin you in the middle of the ring. And of course, I mean, I don't want people falling off the top of that damn thing. I think Shane McMahon was an idiot at WrestleMania jumping off of it. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
that's the thing. Do you want to be the next guy that wants to push that envelope on Hell in a Cell? Or do you want to just like give it to Mankind and like, dude, no, I'm good.
Yeah, his.
Keep doing this.
Yeah, that's his. See, but I think there's really great ways that they could utilize the cell. Like, think of a King Ricochet match in a Hell in a Cell. Like, what genius type of flips and, you know, doing stuff like just being on the side of it and then jumping off and doing a basic, like, Frankensteiner or Hurricanrana or something. Like, they started getting pretty creative with the Elimination Chamber. Like, standing on top of the pod and then like doing a cool Hurricanrana off of it, but then throwing somebody through the glass. Like there's a lot of neat things you could do in that environment. But with Hell in a Cell, it seems like it's either, we're either going to literally kill ourselves or we're going to have a standard wrestling match and I might like Irish whip you into the cage. And there's like no in between so far. Something. That's like, and perfect example is those old school X Division matches in TNA where they had that red X like that you would climb on. So get it, make it more of a gimmick match. Like, use the gimmick. You got it right there. You got a big ass 40-foot tall whatever. Like, use it. Just do something with it. Like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do. You could just use it for, you know, physics, and you could do stuff like vertical suplexes, but instead of going on a flat back, you just throw them into the back of the cell, and you could do that whole spot where they like to do now where you run people through the barricade, but like run them through the cell. Like, just,
oh, like exploder.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. And like, or or even just a spear through the cell wall or something. Like, you don't have to climb on top of the damn thing, but just use it. Like, just do something. And I'm worried, what I'm actually worried about with this upcoming Hell in the Cell thing, and we'll talk about it probably after it happens, I am worried that Sasha Banks is going to try some shit.
Is she going to kill herself?
Oh my God, she has taken some bumps lately, man. And I'm like, you got to be careful. You're money right now. Just don't kill yourself out there. Just do your stuff, hit your moves. But like, you saw that drop where Charlotte was on like the second rope and just let go of Sasha, and Sasha like folded up like an accordion. Like, I see stuff like that and it worries me. I'm like, God, that was not good in any way. And then they're starting to do more moves on the apron. On like the very corner of the apron, and I'm like, get away from there. Like, people have had to retire for less, you know?
Right.
But I guess we just went off a wrestling tangent. But you had some Marvel news, right?
I have a little bit of Marvel news.
Marvel news.
So like, an idea that I thought with Kami is just, we can talk about like the big news that's, I guess, that's been going on for like this, you know, the current week, right? This is like the thing we did with last week, the last episode with like the Nintendo and Logan.
Yeah, right, right. Well, so Red Dead.
It was a great conversation. So on my end, I mean, it was brought out last week, but like nothing's really going on other than Walking Dead. So I figured I'd bring this up in case, you know, nobody knew. So Marvel, in terms of the comics, has this lineup called Marvel Now. So they're pushing, you know, brand new number one titles of like the characters they want to push, you know, like infamous Iron Man with Doctor Doom and I think Iron Heart. So there's basically gonna be like two Iron Man, like one's a woman, a teenager woman, another is Doctor Doom.
Gotcha.
I can explain that whole storyline, but anyways, this is about the X-Men. So this the X-Men line is called Resurrection, which is going to happen after I guess their event of Inhumans versus X-Men. So basically, like their war with each other, because there's a thing going on in the storyline that the thing that's making Inhumans is killing the mutants. So that's where the setting is. And so like, what starts it is basically, Cyclops is going to die in what they're talking about right now. There's a comic that's before it starts the war. Cyclops is going to die trying to do something to save all the mutants that's left in the world. So, so all these new number ones have been announced for the X-Men line because people were worried that the X-Men were going to be like, you know, like final deletion because, you know, Marvel Studios is trying to push the Inhuman movie, and pushing the Inhumans in terms of comics, making like, I guess, Marvel's version of like the mutants, because you know, the X-Men movies are with Fox and that whole like spiel.
Yeah.
So like the things that were announced in terms of Resurrection was, titles you kind of expect. I think one of them was Cable having his own solo, because Cable is around doing his thing, trying to, you know, save mutant kind, but he's from the future. Cable is doing his thing. Another one that you did not really expect, or actually, two that you didn't really expect were Jean Grey having a solo and Iceman having a solo series. So to set up this story, I believe I was sending you Marvel codes when I was buying comics at a time. All New X-Men was one of them, where the story was the whole Avengers versus X-Men storyline happened, and Cyclops was deemed like a villain or a criminal because he killed Professor Xavier, but because he had the Phoenix, you know, essence in him, whatever. So Beast, what Beast does is goes back in time to gather the original X-Men. I think it was like Angel, Iceman, Jean Grey, and younger Cyclops. So teenager versions of the heroes that are, you know, in the present. Mm-hmm. He brings them back. He brings them to the present to try to like straighten out Cyclops and what he's done, you know, the quote unquote evil things that he's done or whatever.
Yeah.
To straighten him out, but they can't go back into their regular time. So now these teenagers from the past are stuck in the present, and they're just trying to make their own, you know, like their own way into the world, because I guess each of those characters that were brought from the past, you know, they kind of had like a jacked up like fate to them. Like, you know, Jean Grey died because of the becoming the Dark Phoenix, and mm-hmm, she keeps dying because of whatever reason. And then I think Beast had to deal with him becoming like, you know, how he is, like being like a blue furball, either cat or monkey, whatever mutation.
Right. Like a Blanca. Yeah.
Yeah, like a Blanca. And then Angel, the last thing that was going on with him was he became Apocalypse, but because they went to like an alternative like future, he died in that timeline. So like the past Angel doesn't know exactly what's going on. So he's like, and nobody's telling him what happened to, you know, present Angel or Archangel, whatever you want to go about. And then past Cyclops is like finding out all these terrible things that he did in the present. So he's like, I'm, you know, and this is like Boy Scouts Cyclops, you know, just being a goody two shoes.
Gotcha.
And
yeah.
All that stuff. So he wants to pave his own way. Like, I'm not going to be what I am like in the present day. So now back to the whole resurrection lineup. Yeah. Iceman getting a solo. He's getting more prominence because they recently outed him as being a gay character, which wasn't even in the forefront of like his character until recently. Gotcha. Since they had the past Iceman meeting the present Iceman. So the present Iceman never really dealt with his sexuality, but the past Iceman is full on saying like, oh no, yeah, I'm gay.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing of present Iceman dealing with his sexuality. The Iceman was saying like, we always had to do with something. Like, we always had to save the world.
Oh, so yeah. Other things were pulling attention away and never got to.
So like, I never had to deal with it or, you know, come to terms with it. So now you have this like tension of like, you know, past Iceman is, he came out of the closet while, you know, present Iceman is like, he's come to terms with that at this point now. So, but you know, Iceman is like one, almost like one of the strongest mutants, because he, like, his ability to control cold and ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like to an extreme degree. So that's why they're pushing Iceman now. And then Jean Grey, you know, the deal with Jean Grey, you know, she got the Phoenix, Phoenix Force. She was doing really great with it, but then she got corrupted and became Dark Phoenix. And then every time the Phoenix Force came around, it was like a repeated cycle. So now past Jean Grey is dealing with like the present stuff that's happened with her to the present Jean Grey, but without trying not to deal with the whole Phoenix Force thing. And again, paving her own way into the present. Right.
That's a neat dynamic. Like, just the idea of here's past me, here's future me. And usually never the two shall meet, but especially with the Iceman thing, because the Iceman thing, that's a story. Like,
totally.
Coming to terms with who you really are. And I mean, it's setting all of the kind of superhero stuff to the side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there's more like meat to that type of storytelling, because you have more to say. Like, you're actually saying something. And yeah, I guess that's what, because that sounds really, I like that idea of the whole resurrection kind of line, because now let's dive into stuff that may not be, basically there's no way to spoil it on the cover of the comic. So something about, and maybe I might be wrong, but this is how I remember like mid-90s comics back when I would buy them all the time, they would kind of give away the money shot on the cover. Like,
kind of, you had an idea what was happening.
Death of Superman.
In the comic.
Yeah, and like, here's, you know, who was it, Doomsday, that like broke his back or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, here's Doomsday holding the dead body of Superman. And you're like, okay, so basically that's second to last page. You just gave me what happened, and it's called The Death of Superman. Like,
right.
Yeah, we talked about spoilers earlier. Like, that's a big fucking dick mega spoiler. Like, there's all the, it's on the cover. Like, what are you doing? But now with this, it's like, okay, there's something a little bit deeper here. There's, you know, with Jean Grey, does she really want to go down that path again of the Phoenix Force? And does she, you know, she has to make that call. You know, if you could repeat if you could repeat your life over again, would you make the same choices, type of thing?
Right, exactly.
There's cool kind of ebb and flow to that, where you have more playing room, I guess, as a writer. Instead of like, well, what big fucking robot does the group have to kill this time? Like, you like write yourself into a rut, and you're like, I guess they got to do the thing again.
Those are like some of the titles announced. Others that were announced, what else was there? Generation X was announced, which was like the second generation of New Mutants, the title New Mutants. So Generation X was the next set of New Mutants. I think they just had a cult following, and they never got back their own team book. So you're probably going to see like the mutants that of that class back into the having a team book, which is cool because everybody has been demanding that title for a good while, as far as I was watching. And then I believe, what else? I think the last thing that they announced was X-Men Blue and Gold. So back to what the 90s was.
Yes. X-Men
had the blue team and the gold team.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure you were a blue team fan because Gambit was in that team.
Yes, I was. And I remember buying those specific action figures. Like, during that was a thing, and because that was during the time, now I'm probably getting my timetables mixed up, and it's probably not even kind of related, but it might be. But, so I remember X-Force sort of during that same, was that during the same era, sort of?
I want to say maybe either, I want to say it was like before, like a little bit before, but it was just about to come out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I remember those, and like it's because Cyclops was dressed like a giant condom because he had like the skin suit basically, right? Yeah. He looked like a scuba diver, but instead of a face mask, he had his eye laser. but then Beast was on blue team, right?
Beast was blue team. Wolverine was blue team. Gambit was blue team.
Yep.
Who else?
I'm remembering all this. Was Luke Cage in any of them?
No, Luke Cage was separate from them. He wasn't even Avengers at this point. So he was just like Heroes for Hire. He was doing his own thing.
Maybe his outfit. It was blue and gold. So that's what I'm...
Yeah.
It was that era.
You're right. You got it. So yeah, I was more of a gold team guy because my favorite character was Colossus. He was a strong guy.
Yeah,
That team, and you introduced like you had Storm, Jean Grey, Archangel, Iceman. So it was a pretty strong deck team. Yeah, you introduced Bishop into that team. So I was more of a gold team guy. So yeah, they're announcing that again, but we don't know what the team lineup is. So
I might get way into that one. That might be what brings me back.
Take a look what's going on with blue and gold. Or
Yeah,
for sure. So yeah, like this is Marvel's way of saying like, hey, we didn't forget about the X-Men comics. So it'll shut some people up.
Right.
There was a lot there was a lot of people complaining, and I was about to become one of them because like, dude, like they're pushing Avengers because of the movies and all these other characters, but like, what's going on with the X-Men? They were your heavy hitters back in the 90s, and now you're just forgetting about them now. You know.
That's what like kept them afloat during the 90s was X-Men was everywhere. Like I remember the brown and off yellow Wolverine. Like I remember that, you know what I'm saying? Like I remember Gambit with the kind of Buffon haircut with the gray trench coat. Like this was pre, because right whenever I started getting out of comics, so this might give you the timeline of where I was like really into comics, is the whole blue and gold thing. I totally remember it, bought all the toys. Where I started getting out of it is whenever Gambit became one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, that shit got dumb.
was this around the time of Age of Apocalypse?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think
like it got a bit stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. All right.
Around that time too.
He looked cool, but it's like their big reveal was like, he's a four horseman of the apocalypse, Gambit. And I'm like, what? What I need to do, man, is I just need to go. Well, okay, one, you got to give me a big like compendium recommendation. So if you go to like Comixology or something and you find something that you're like, bro, you got to read this shit, like send it to me and I'll just straight up buy it. I'll buy it and I'll read it. Like, cause I need to get back in. I need to, even if it's something that's from the late 90s, early 2000s, just one of those that you can't miss. And if you're listening out there and you got recommendations, give them to us. We talked about it, and I think we talked about it last episode, where you said I would be more of the Image comics guy, like the
Image,
or like Dark Horse type,
because
one of my favorite stories is Planetary is off the freaking chain. Like, I love that whole story is made well, and it's super small. I think all told it's like 110 pages for the whole story. It's in and out. It's real quick. But it tells a great story. Why the Last Man. Then there's like those one-offs like Pride of Baghdad, which is about America whenever they went into Afghanistan. And what happened is a pride of lions got loose from the zoo. And it's from the perspective of the lions. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan. Cool. Yeah, Brian K. Vaughan, the same guy that did Why the Last Man. So it's based on the lions, and the lions can speak to each other and all that stuff. But then they're talking about, like, why did the walls break down, and why were we in this cage, and what's the new law of the jungle, and what is the jungle? And, like, so they're trying to figure out their own way, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it's, like, a super profound thing about America going to war in Afghanistan. And that's cool. Yeah, so it's those type of stories that they start about one thing and then they end as something else, like a allegory or I can really get into that. I also started reading, well, this was back in the day, but I read like DMZ, like Demilitarized Zone, which was about New York City basically got a biohazard deal, and then it became just a no man's land, and they destroyed the bridges in Manhattan to get to Manhattan. So like all these infected people are just on Manhattan Island, and like Staten Island around there.
Isn't this a video game?
Yeah, it could be now.
Isn't this
probably,
like
State of Emergency?
What is it called? No, like the Tom Clancy game.
Oh, The Division.
It just came out. Not just came out, but like that was the last thing.
Was it
Tom
yeah like The Division, right?
The Division, yeah.
Sort it of sounds like it really is, and it talks about like because there's a big cast of characters there. There's a old war vet, there's a young war vet that just joined the army, then there's a photojournalist, there's like all these people, and they have to figure out exactly what's going on, and it's like it's pretty intriguing, kind of that one-to-one sort of, you know, it's just one long story instead of the small snippets of them.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's the type of jams I'm into, but I need to get back into like the pure on Marvel, like the stuff that I grew up drawing on notebook paper.
Superheroes.
Yeah, like Incredible Hulk and Thor and like, you know, let's get it going. but yeah, the only other big piece of news that I have is I have had my first taste of virtual reality. the future there. The future is now, and now I'm a VR trooper.
We are VR
trooper. We are. We're VR troopers.
Oh,
terrible
man.
Power Rangers knockoff.
Oh, but man, so what'd you think of your experience?
Okay, so fiance is a school teacher. She went to over this past weekend, she went to a big conference, and they gave away some Google Cardboard. And basically, if you don't know what Google Cardboard is, it's basically just like it sounds. Google produced a VR headset that is entirely made of cardboard. So it literally is about the size of like a newborn baby's shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fold it around and stuff like that. It has two lenses on it, but it has a place to hold your smartphone. And it holds smartphones anywhere from like 4 inches to like 7.5 inches. So like any real current smartphone, I have an iPhone 5C and it fits it perfectly. And I know even the new Samsung stuff, it'll fit it well, like the notes and all that. It'll fit it great.
That's where you don't want to have your notes set.
Yeah, right in front of your face. Oh, it looks so real. The explosion, I can feel the heat on my face. But here's the deal. I was like, okay, here's a little VR headset. You know, you put your phone in it. This might be a fun little gimmick. Like, yeah, let me see what it does. I'm expecting whenever you go to the theater and you put on the red and the blue glasses from back in the late 90s and you go see a quote-unquote 3D movie and like, yeah, haha, it's kind of a fun thing. But brother, this shit works and it's creepy. Like, it works so well that I had the same sensation. You know, right whenever you're on a roller coaster and right when it starts cresting and gravity just kicks in and it's pulling you. That same, like my body went through that same sensation.
Oh, you got that same immersion.
Yeah, man. And what's weird is, you know, it takes a little bit of setup and you might have to move your phone around because it can get blurry if it's not synced up exactly right. And I've noticed that the better games for VR are any game that has a crosshair. And the reason why is if you see two crosshairs, you know that your phone isn't lined up right. So then you just move your phone around until that focal point of the crosshair just becomes one crosshair, and then you're good. So there's all sorts of games. Like, there's a Mount Everest thing. There's a deal where you're, like, in a helicopter, and you can look around. And it's full 360 degrees, so it uses the gyro on your phone and the accelerometers and stuff to know if you're moving back and forth. Like, so it does your actual positioning. And I mean, a lot of these VR apps you can download even if you don't have a VR headset and play them without the VR. It'll just show two. Basically, you hold your phone in that landscape mode, and then it just cuts it in half right down the middle. And there's two exact replicas of the image. So what the lens does is one slightly set off than the other, but the lenses put them together. And then it gives you the sense not only of depth and like 3D space, like a Nintendo 3DS, but also a sense of like presence that you can, if you turn and look behind you, you're going to be looking behind you. Like, it's not a, and it's weird because you can read about it and you can talk about it, but until you do it, you can't quite grasp it. And because it genuinely is one of those things that I have to be sitting down, or else I will fall over. Like, it's
smack people.
It's so, you know, and it could even be animated cartoon graphics. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but the fact that even for those like two or three split seconds where you forget that you're holding a thing up to your face. Like, you really do get transported to a place, and it's a weird sensation. And then your brain like kicks you out of it. You know what I mean? Like, your brain understands usually about 95% of the time that what you're doing is a simulation, but there's those tiny like 5-second chunks to where you forget And you're there, like you're at Mount Everest, or you're at, you know, there's one game to where you, it's called In Mind, like I-N-M-I-N-D, where you're a doctor and, you know, patients will come to you and say, like, I have headaches. Well, then you like go into their mind. So you're on this roller coaster type deal and you see all the neurons of the brain. And then you have to look at them and it shoots a laser to take out the red neurons or the ones that are causing the headache. So like it's just a neat little game to kind of roller coaster around and stuff, but it feels so big. You go in there and it feels like you're in a planetarium because it's huge. Like you can look up and there's like tours you can do of like, oh, you're going to Paris. And but in order to see the top of the Eiffel Tower, I had to look straight up. Like I physically had to move my body and like look straight up because it's all built with the mapping into it. And it's way better than I ever thought it could be. Cause you hear about VR and Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. And I'm like, that might just be a gimmick. Like, yeah, sure. You're, you know, oh, you sure you're in the game, whatever. But like, my mind might freak out if I did a Vive or like a PlayStation VR, because I can't imagine it being higher fidelity. And like it showed up blurry on my phone and it's not quite right. And like, it's kind of janky. Like I'll put it that way. It's kind of janky. So if you're used to the heavy hitters, like a PSVR or Oculus or like the Vive or something, the phone thing with the Google Cardboard is going to be a chuckle for you. But for someone that's never done it before, you can go to the store and buy a $5 Google Cardboard. If you got a smartphone, now you can experience VR. And I believe the hype now. Like, just from doing the janky phone version, I'm like, oh, shit, there's a lot you can do with this technology. like, they make horror games already, like, jump out and scare you type stuff. And that shit's terrifying because it feels like someone's right next to you. Because when you turn around, there's a big fucking face right next to you.
Exactly, and
it works. I don't know how, but like your brain puts it all together and it's creepy. Like it's genuinely one of those things that I can imagine the way the brain works. I could imagine that you play a VR game and then you have a dream about that actual place like you were actually there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, because
totally.
All of the parts of your brain are working. Like, the only thing that you don't get is the smell and like the wind in your hair or whatever. But everything else is there. You're there. You're in the middle of it. You're looking around. Like, whenever you blink, it just all of it works so well. You're blinking, and it's basically then you open your eyes again and you're still in that fake place. It's so hard to like put into words how well it works. And even just the old Google Cardboard thing. And like, they gave us quite a few of them. And
if you made it work on the Google Cardboard, and like it's cheap, you say?
$5. Yeah. Oh, God. You can get it for like $10. Yeah.
$10. And if it's working on that level, then like you can just imagine how they're. There's this current push of the current VRs with like Oculus and PlayStation VR. I know like the games are just launch VR title games, but so they'll eventually get better as time progresses. But you could just imagine what those full on, you know, full fledged games will look like and feel like.
I'm blown away with it. And exactly. The fidelity of it. Like I'm actually worried that it would work so well, like I might go insane. You know, and it sounds over dramatic and whatever, but it really, those old dumb slogans of like, oh, we're going to put you in the game and it feels like you're there. And you just think it's this tagline and you think it's you just think it's marketing hype and all this. But like, if I was in something that had kind of the fidelity of a 4K TV and it was right next to my face and like I could see the water crystals on the ocean, like I would probably pass out. Like, yeah. But I don't know if my brain would know what to do. because it's so crazy. And I mean, there's even a video. I need to send it to you, and I might put it in the show notes on comedyhobo.com. But there's a video where a dad surprises his daughter by taking her to a Best Buy where they have PlayStation VR set up. And, you know, she's all excited about VR and stuff. And it's like, yeah, they have the representatives there from Sony. Like, let's go meet them. So then they go, and it's really cool. And they go in, and there's a Shark Tank thing. So, like, it's the VR of you're underwater in the shark tank with scuba divers. And then one of the sharks comes and, like, bites on the cage and, all that type of stuff. This girl has a genuine fear response. Like, you see her shoulders start, like, buckling into themselves. And then, like, she, like, brings her feet up off the chair and her palms start getting, like, she's genuinely starting to freak out. Mm-hmm. And so the Sony people, like, slowly take the headset off and be like, you're okay, you're here. And you know, she gets done with it and she was like, that was amazing. She loved it. But, like, for that, you know, 30 seconds, man, she was in fight or flight mode. Like,
yeah,
it was a real, very human sensation that was happening, and you could see it. And even the dad, whenever, like, the shark was coming around the bend, he was, like, grabbing the arm of the chair. Mm-hmm. And it's real, man. It's creepy. Like, whenever I'm curious to try one. Like, I'm curious to try a high fidelity version, but I'm also kind of, like, nervous to do it. Because if the little cell phone Google Cardboard thing made me dizzy, and not because it was blurry or anything, but just because I felt that momentum of vertigo and, like, that dip of my stomach with a roller coaster. Like, if that little phone screen was giving me that, God knows what this super high def, big giant thing you wear on your head, like.
Yeah.
There's no telling.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to try it. Now I'm all in. Like, VR, I get it. Even with the shitty phone version, I get it. but it's like, you know, Microsoft, I think, today announced that they're doing a $200 VR headset. It works with Windows 10. You just hook it up through USB. You're good to go. I mean, we'll see how it's all going to pan out. But I do sincerely think that VR is here to stay now. Like, it was always a fad. And, like, in the 90s, it came along and 3D movies and stuff.
Virtual Boy and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I think this is the real McCoy. I think it's finally a thing.
I'm glad it's a thing because it seems like this time around it's genuine because the type of games that we're looking to see and getting.
Yes.
Like these past few days, I've been watching. I think Super Best Friends were playing like all the VR games that the PlayStation VR is bringing out. So they had like what was it, VR Worlds, where they had like London Heist, Odyssey. So like, sure you can do the funny things with it, like because I think London Heist has like the hands out, and then you're using the Move controllers. So like you're using it to do like Either you can either play it seriously, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm in the game, or like you can do like super silly things, like, grab the guy's nipples and try to twist them as he's trying to like interrogate you, stuff like that. So like they were doing that type of humor stuff. But then I see games like Rigs, which is like a sports exosquad game where you have an exosquad suit and like it's like a sports version of Titanfall, where you're in the suit.
It's like an arena soccer thing.
Yeah. So like I'm seeing how it's all playing out, and I'm like, this looks great. And a lot of the things that they would say is, it's one thing to watch it on a screen. It's another thing to actually be in it and play it. Like, experience it. So like it may say like some games may not look great on screen, but it could be a totally different experience as you're actually dealing with the experience.
Yes. So, I mean, because you are there, and that's genuine. Yeah. Like I can tell you for a fact that is absolutely true. And it made me excited because I was like, Oh, imagine a Japanese role playing game.
Yeah, totally.
It, like stuff that maybe or this might bring about more genres that may have been kind of dead in the water, or just not as popular, like point and click adventures. Yeah. But like, how can you rescope a point and click adventure to have you as the main character? Like,
yeah.
Now there's a real deal. Of course, you're going to get just your basic standard fare. You're going to get stuff like first person shooters and stuff, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see kind of what they do narratively, because like, imagine, oh my God, imagine if Konami was still a thing. And freaking Kojima got this deal with Metal Gear. Oh, like, gosh, what sort of mind fuck shit would he come up with for VR? Like, right?
Metal Gear VR?
He's crazy anyway. So what storytelling device would he do that you're a part of now? Like, it would make you feel like shit. Like, he would make you do something and you would feel terrible because you physically are there doing it. Like, I can't recommend it enough. Like, if you have a smartphone of any type, if you've gotten a smartphone in the past, I'd say 5 years, it's probably compatible with VR and it can run the apps and stuff, because they're not very intense games as far as like graphics are concerned. But just go to like a Walmart or a Best Buy or something, and they're going to have anywhere from the $10 entry level. Sometimes they have up to like $90 deluxe headsets that have like built-in headphones, and so it depends on how hardcore you want to go with it. But just get one for your cell phone. Just get one for your phone. Like, just save a little bit of money instead of buying that new game that you want, or like that you were waiting on, or it's on your to buy list. Use that, you know, $20 to $60 just to get you a basic bare bones headset. And I'm positive you're going to be at least impressed with how well it works. Considering it's just a phone screen and I just have a, you know, it's an app. Like, it doesn't feel like the real McCoy, but then it gives you a taste of like, oh my God, what is that Batman VR game like?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, holy shit. Like, this is a thing. Yeah. And that's really cool.
You can use that as like, if you're not sure about VR gaming, you could just go that route.
Yes, it's cheap. If you're out $20 and you don't like it and it doesn't work for you, great. You tried it. You could say you tried it and then you're out.
Yeah.
But if you get the reaction like I did and you're like, whoa, there's something to this. And then, it's here to stay, man. Like, it's a real thing. And it's exciting because I do want to try more of it. So I'm like on the app store, like finding all the VR stuff just to see it, even dumb stuff like, oh, it's a picture of a lake. I want to see a lake. And then
you want to find the good stuff though.
Right. That's it. It's like, now I'm reading top 10 lists on like, what are the best apps I can get? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm down that rabbit hole now.
Yeah. Believe me, you'll be deciding which kind of VR.
That's it.
You want to get.
You say that and you're not wrong. Like, I'm already balancing, like, so if I save for about 3 months, because I mean, these fucking things are like $800, man.
Yeah,
they're expensive, and like my PC is just barely good enough to do VR. It's VR ready, so like I just have to buy the gear. But the other thing is, like, I don't want to put sensors all around my living room, and I don't have enough room for that. Like, because it comes with sensors and you have to hook in this backpack of a headset and like weird stuff. But then the thing is, the PlayStation VR, it has everything in the kit that you would need for like $450. And I'm like, it's expensive, but it's not totally out of the realm.
Yeah, everything's all there.
Everything's there. I don't need a ton of space in my living room. Like, this could work. But it's exciting, and it's very rare. And you know, we've been through a lot. We've been through the you know, you and I grew up during the Sega Genesis versus Super Nintendo. We've been around since the, like, internet really became a thing. like there are certain key points in the development of technology. So like we've been lucky because we like grew up right when the internet became the thing. Like I think it became a thing for consumers in 1993. So we were both like six.
Yeah.
So we kind of knew of life before the internet.
Right.
But now we know this thing just took over the world. And then we saw our first set of 3D graphics. And we're like, oh my God. You know, you look back now and you look at Battle Arena Toshinden. You're like, what's this? What's this garbage? This looks like horse shit.
Right.
But at the time, man, you couldn't convince us that there was anything more realistic. And then you saw that those first Gran Turismo screenshots.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're like, holy shit, this is real life. Like, that is real.
Can't get any better.
This is the most realistic thing you will ever see in your life.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going outside. And, but now you look back and you're like, look how far we've come. But I can genuinely say that your first experience in true VR is that same feeling of like, this is it. Like, if you want to know what, it's not even the future, man. It's happening. Like, this is where it's going. And it feels cool to have another one of those. Of like, yeah, we saw the 16-bit era and like all that crazy console war. And then Nintendo just brought out Mario 64. And then we saw the Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, look at how good that looks. But now this is one of those. It's like, this is where it's headed.
That's exciting, man.
It's good. It's real good. And yeah, like I said, I just played the janky shit. Like I didn't even, I haven't gotten to the good stuff. It's like, it's like if you just get nothing but skunk weed and then they're like, oh bro, let me hook you up with a real McCoy.
Let me give you this organic stuff.
Yeah. Let me give you the stuff that Jimmy just grew down the road. Like he has his own herbatory and he's a scientist when it comes to it. This is his jam. But that's what it feels like, man. That's like the phone is your first fix is free. And then you're like,
right?
Well, give me the harder stuff. Hit me again, bartender. Like, you know, you're going from cactus coolers to Jack straight out of the bottle. Like,
oh, man.
0 to 1,000. But dude, it's good. It's cool. But yeah, I recommend it. I totally recommend it. But yeah, send us those comic book recommendations. Like I'm feeling it. Sure. I'm feeling Marco, if you know of a line, if you know of a set that just killed it, you let me know and I'll go on Comixology. I love it because I can read it on my Kindle. I can read it on my phone. I can take those digital books with me. So if it's on digital, if it's on Comixology, let me know. I'm going to get it. But I think, is there anything else? I think that's kind of the main heavy hitters for this week.
That's pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, man. But awesome episode. A lot of big, fun stuff happening. They booked Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg for Survivor Series.
Yeah. That happened.
So here's the deal. Okay, well, let's make our predictions on what that whole thing's going to be, and then that's going to be how we close the show. If this is truly Goldberg's last match, he's losing.
Yeah.
Period. He's losing. He's going out on his back. It's old tradition. Like, I think he should lose. And the reason why is they have Brock Lesnar, who, say what you will about him, you know, he's not the friendliest guy. He's not the most politically correct. He's kind of done some dick things. He, quote unquote, cheated with the UFC steroid stuff. Like, not the, you know, he's not Leave It to Beaver. But, but as a promoter, who better than, like, that giant monster outlaw who doesn't give a shit? Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to stop Brock Lesnar? I know who they're going to make stop Brock Lesnar, and that's Roman Reigns. But I think they're going to, the same way that Brock killed Undertaker's streak, I think they're going to make Brock retire Goldberg. they're gonna like make him just savage. I don't think it'll be a squash match, but I think it'll be one of those that like, here are the two Hosses, but Brock Lesnar clearly out Hossed Goldberg. Like there was no contest. And they're just gonna just keep building Brock Lesnar as this unstoppable machine of like everything that you hold dear and love in your life, Brock Lesnar is going to murder. Like he's just gonna go on this rampage. And then they're gonna promote it to where Roman Reigns is the guy to beat him. that's good. Seriously.
I can see that.
That's gonna be it. That's gonna be how Roman Reigns gets his true Hall of Famer, big time. I'm the new John Cena push is he's going to be the guy that dethrones Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I can kind of see how they're going to recycle the second John Cena versus Brock Lesnar match. You know how John Cena won the first one.
Right.
Cause they said he had like, he was, cause Brock Lesnar was dealing with some sort of, like infection or like disease or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like he wasn't 100%. But like now you have the real Brock Lesnar, and then like yeah, and then Brock Lesnar just destroyed him.
Hardened him. Yeah, I can see blood.
I can see the same thing happening with Goldberg, like saying like, oh yeah, you mean you got me the last time we went together, went up against each other, but you got older and I just got better type of thing.
It's a payback match, and he's gonna give him that receipt, and but yeah, that's what's gonna happen, and I hope, because I don't think Goldberg needs another run. I think the one and done is fine for Goldberg. But yeah, I see Brock going over, and then they're still going to say what a monster he is. That way they can the way I explained it to somebody is I was like they're using Brock Lesnar as a cold chamber, just this thing that's generating heat for like years. They're doing everything in their power to build him as the biggest fucking heel in the business, whether it's real life stuff of him doing steroids and then like cheating his way through UFC or saying stuff to Heath Slater, like, I don't give a shit about your kids. they're building this mega monster heel who just doesn't give a shit, and it works well because Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit. So they're playing into his strengths, and they're just making a coal chamber for Roman Reigns. That's all this is. This is just they're compacting the most amount of heel into Brock Lesnar. That way, supposedly, when they frame it to where the triumph conquering hero of Roman Reigns defeats the big, bad, ugly Brock Lesnar, he's supposed to go over. And I don't think that's going to work. Like, I almost at this point feel bad for Roman Reigns.
How long do you think, in order for it to work, how long do you think they should wait? Because we were supposed to have Triple H versus Seth Rollins last year.
Yeah.
But now they're pushing it for this year, which was like, oh yeah, that can work now. Where back then, I think you're like, no, why? Like, why are you pushing that now? When Seth Rollins was just being the guy, you know, just turning on the Shield and all that stuff.
Right.
So like, how long do you think in the whole Roman Reigns going over on Brock Lesnar? How long do you think people would enjoy it, like say you're the booker or something like.
If I was booker, Fantasyland, everything's perfect, and you know Willy Wonka is alive and all that stuff. Yeah. Like so, all these big magic moments. So, I would give it a solid like 2 year build.
Yeah.
To where, because we've seen stuff like that to where in ECW. It was, it was Taz versus Sabu, wasn't it? To where they hyped the match for a year, and those two were never even in the same room together. And that place fucking exploded when they both got into the ring. Like, you couldn't you know what I'm saying? Or even, I'll even put it this way. I loved that first John Cena versus Rock match at WrestleMania, 28? that once in a lifetime or whatever it was called. I thought it was genius. Yeah. I loved it because they built it for a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's the biggest guy of the last era facing the biggest guy of this era, yet they haven't been in the ring together for like 6 months at all. Then they're doing like call-in telepromos. Yeah. And like, yeah, he thinks he's hot shit, but he's really not. So like they're doing a slow burn, and then they finally get into the WrestleMania main event, and you want to see it happen. Like, none of them are big mat technicians and wizards in the ring, but like they told the story, like we talked about earlier. Yeah. Like, here are the two Goliaths of sports entertainment, and now it's finally happening, and there was a lot of hype around it. Like, they need to build it that way. First, what they need to do is completely make Roman Reigns a heel. Just make him be the biggest prick on the planet. And the reason why, like, make him basically Kevin Owens' character. Make him try, you know, he's sassy and funny and whatever, but let him be himself and let him be a dick. Because you want to give the fans, okay, all of the boos that Roman Reigns is getting, let him earn them. Let him become the guy that they should boo. Because what's going to happen is, since that's what the fans kind of want to see, then they'll start liking Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Then, if Brock Lesnar's still put up as this big, roided up monster, and then Roman Reigns comes out and kind of pulls the Dean Ambrose of like, yeah, he's big and ugly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he basically turns it into a Rock promo to where this gives him an opportunity to just bury Brock Lesnar and be like, this guy's a joke. Like, you guys are all hyped about Brock Lesnar, and this guy's garbage. Like, he's a big, steep pile of dumpster fire. And just build that and make it to where Roman Reigns just doesn't take Brock Lesnar seriously at all. Be like, who's that guy? Who cares? Yeah. Like, just build it to where he doesn't give a shit. And then it makes Brock Lesnar furious, right? Because that's the whole booking thing. But then they start cheering for Roman Reigns because he's funny on the mic, because he has this, like, who gives a shit attitude. He basically becomes CM Punk after the pipe bomb. To where he just doesn't care anymore. He's like, what? What are you going to do? Like, Brock Lesnar's going to do something? No, get that Joker out of here. And he almost becomes like that Chris Jericho, smarmy, appeasing to the smarks sort of guy. Make him be that. Like, just let him talk. Roman Reigns is super talented, and he's got the look. Just let, don't feed him lines about suffering succotash and like, what are you doing to this guy? Like,
yeah, let him. They need to just not let him talk. Let him get over. Let him talk, and then like figure out like what if something didn't work there, then have him try something else.
I seriously see, because I'm a big Kevin Nash fan. I love Kevin Nash. I think he's one of the smartest guys that's ever been in wrestling. Have Roman Reigns be Kevin Nash. Just have him come out and flip the hair and look pretty and do five moves. And then do the NWO shoot interviews. That's all we need Roman Reigns to be. Like, have him be the guy that's above it all. Have him be the guy that, like, yeah, you guys boo me, but guess what? You fucking bought my t-shirt, didn't you? Like, have him be that guy. Because that's, I think Roman would be great at it. I think they need to get the courage to let Roman be hated for a while. And genuinely let him just savor in being this, like, anti-hero of he's just cocky and full of himself, and he could even talk about, yeah, I know I'm the man. Vince told me that this company belongs to me, so I don't got to listen to any of you fuckers. Like, let him do that for a while, and then get a real reason to get him real heat, build the him not taking Brock Lesnar seriously. Then now you have a match that people want to see, because, oh, that lovable, frisky Roman Reigns, he's going to get his ass tore to pieces, right?
Yeah.
Like, they want to see Brock Lesnar murder this man, because Brock is fuming and it's building for a year and he just can't quite get his hands on Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns is like, sorry, sucks to be you, nerd. And just builds it. But then at WrestleMania, have Roman Reigns win. That's you're made for life because now it's a guy that I fought the pissed off Brock Lesnar. He was mad, he was at 100%. We had a full year of a build and he still couldn't beat me. Then use that and be like, oh, the dude that got the Undertaker, well, I beat that guy, so technically I'm better than the Undertaker. Like, you can see, you know what I mean? Like,
you
just
keep going with it. Yeah,
ham it up. Let him earn those boos, man. He'll have a blast. He'll get way better on the mic. Like, let him have fun with it and let him just be a dick. Like, that's what I want to see more than anything is, and you know, I'm way past the point of, oh, people need to, you know, Cena needs to turn heel. Like, that would be the most idiotic thing, is for Cena to turn heel. Mm-hmm. But with Roman Reigns being a genuine smarmy asshole, it would be great. I would watch Monday Night Raw. All of it, all the time. I would just watch it for the Roman Reigns segment, just to see what shit he was pulling. What kind of backstage pull did he have? Like, oh, I'm protected, you know? And then you could even build a Vince Roman Reigns rivalry. Is Roman Reigns is coasting on his laurels. Vince told me, I'm a made man. I'm the guy. He's going to put that strap on me and I'm great. And then Vince comes out and like, you're getting a little ahead of yourself. You got to earn it. And then he's like, whatever, Vince, you know what you told me. Like, you know what you told me. I'm fine. Screw you. I don't need this. I'm just leaving. And then it turns into a feud, right? Like a whole, like, that son of a bitch just walked away from Vince McMahon. Like, you can, I want to see it so bad. Just let him do it. And then it's fun. And it lets him kind of, because as a heel promo, you can say and do whatever you want. Like, he can, that's what made it so, work so well for, like, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, driving a beer truck in. Yeah, you know, like, who, what? Like, he had a monster truck and crushed a limousine. Like, none of this makes any sense. So just have Roman do that type of stuff. Like, have him just, like, I don't know, he could freaking have, like, a kumbaya. Like, he could set, like, a little campfire in the middle of the backstage area, and he's, like, roasting marshmallows, and people are like, what are you doing? And, you know, you could...
You basically want him to be a Tetsuya Naito.
That's it. Yes. I want him to not take any of it seriously. I want him...
belt around, break it, and all that.
I want him to get that belt and, like, look at it and, like, whoops, and, like, throw it off a bridge and be like, eh, I'll get another one someday. Like, he just doesn't care. And, like, he would be the ultimate heel, but the fans would love it.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns would guaranteed get over. He could play into the whole, like, and they tried to do it a little bit with, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, but I'm the guy. Yeah, but, like, that felt really fake. It felt really phony. Just let Roman Reigns be sick of it. Let him go out and he hears all the boos and he was like, I don't care that you guys are booing me. Like, I get paid regardless. You know,
I think Roman Reigns was his most genuine when he was when the whole Lana falling into the cake, the lines that he was saying. I think that was his most genuine.
Sure, given that, and like let him just go whole hog on that, and he could interrupt matches, like not even matches he cares about. But, like, he just walks down to the ring and people are like, oh, Roman Reigns is going to get involved. And then he just goes on the microphone to do commentary and be like, I don't like the pants this guy's wearing. And they're like, what are you doing here? Like, they just have this sort of, like, he's just hanging out like the old, the old college guy that goes back to the high school parties.
Yeah.
but then he tries to act too cool for school. Like, be that guy. Be the guy that's, like, what is he really doing here? Like, don't even let him have a match for 8 months. Just let him hang out.
Kurt Hawkins?
Yes, have him just chill out backstage and make fun of people. And just make him, build him some heat. Build him some genuine, like, people either want to see what he has to say or see him get his ass kicked. Because that's what works so well for Chris Jericho. Made a whole career out of that. Like, he was so good at, like, and even now he has his list. Well, you're on the list. What does that even mean? Like, but he got it over.
He did.
People don't want to be on the list. They're like, no, don't put me on the list. Like, what is it? It's not a thing. Like, but he's so good at acting like it's a thing. Like, just have him, like, have Roman Reigns do that type of stuff. And then almost like how Mick Foley was commissioner. And he would just make decisions. Just have Roman Reigns just make decisions. Oh, I feel like this should be a triple threat match. They're like, you can't do that. but it would be entertaining, and you don't know what he would do. And he could do it for a year. And that way the fans genuinely get to see who he is as a guy, because he's genuinely funny. If you watch him on, like, the Wizard World, like, the roundtables and question and answer sessions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a good guy. He's funny on the mic. He has the funny answers. Like, but he knows how to be witty. I think one of the questions was, is it true that CM Punk had the idea for the Shield? And then he replied with, well, apparently, according to him, CM Punk had the idea for sliced bread. You know what I mean? So, like, he's on it. He's on point. And, like, everyone was like, oh, but they were laughing because it was funny. And let him say that shit. Like, what's stopping it? I don't understand why there's so much just control of, if you want this guy to be a mega star, the reason, the way anybody in this business got to be a mega star was, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin became an instant smash sensation because he riffed on Jake the Snake Roberts being a religious guy. Like, that's where Austin 316 came from. He was like, you go backstage and thump your Bible, but Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. Mm-hmm. Like, that was not scripted at all. Like, he just went out and said it. And then the very next night, you started seeing Austin 316 signs, and he became the biggest thing in the world. And it's just off of ad lib. Like, Roman's got the ability to do that.
Same Let him with Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The whole Rock, it used to be Die Rocky Die. They hated Rocky Maivia. And then he became the cocky asshole that talked, who was the leader of Nation of Domination?
Farouk. Ron Simmons.
Yeah, Ron Simmons. So he went up and he upstaged Ron Simmons and he was like, shut up, jabroni. Just buried the guy.
Yeah.
That's Ron fucking Simmons. Like, that guy will tear
you. Black heavyweight champion.
He's the biggest deal. And, like, you can't do that. You can't tell Ron Simmons he's a jabroni. Like, he is the most brother, like, the good brother you could possibly, you know what I'm saying? But he called him a jabroni and everyone laughed. And, like, it didn't really even bury Ron Simmons because he's on a different level. But it got so much good heat for The Rock. And that's what made him. You know, he became the leader of Nation of Domination just based on charisma. I think the biggest mistake was during the Shield, they never let Roman Reigns talk. Roman Reigns should have been the Paul Heyman of the Shield. He should have been the guy that was cracking jokes saying, hey, we're not standing for, you know, that whole, like, we're not standing for injustice that they tried to do, but be like, we're just tired of everyone's shit. Like, we're just gonna, no, we don't like any of these people, so we're just gonna prove that we're better than all of them, and there's nothing you guys can do about it. Sorry. I just really dig those type of characters, and I think Roman would be a great one because Kevin Nash was never better than when he was in NWO. NWO and Wolfpack and Outsider, Kevin Nash is on a different level. Like, his promos were perfect, his phrasing was perfect. The crowd loved him so much, but they booed him out of the building. But you could tell it was a genuine, like, that guy's real good at what he does. And that's what made him millions and millions of dollars, because he was smart and he knew he had to be the cool guy and he had to do promos that pissed people off. Roman just needs to get on that level. And I think he can. I totally think he can. I seriously think
it's still possible.
Oh, totally.
You need to let go of the reins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you need to let him do his own thing, and you need to not script his promos and just give him the character of, he feels like he's the protected informant to where I'm invincible. I know I'm the guy. This company belongs to me. You know, another person that could do that really well is Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode could play that exact same character and it would work. It would just have a little bit of that smark aspect from Roman Reigns, because then he's acknowledging the fact that he's the chosen one. But then he's taking that into his character to where he's like, yeah, I know I'm the man. You can't tell me I'm not the man because I'm the man. Like, I know. And then it would piss people off so much.
Yeah.
But they would love it at the same time. And they would probably come around and be like, yeah, he's pretty good. Like, yeah, Roman's pretty good. And that's what he needs. He just needs that genuine affinity for him and like the empathy and the, but right now they're just scripting him into a hole and it's not doing anyone any favors. Cause yeah. Oh, Roman Reigns. That's the guy. Like, there's no two ways about it. He has the face of a, like, a Harlequin romance novel cover. You know what I'm saying? He's this big, like, brooding presence. Yeah, he's the guy. Like, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do you think with the Roman Reigns thing? To like, wrap it up, what do you...
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what you've been saying. I want to say he had that similar type of gimmick at FCW, where he was just playing like a cocky, brash guy, you know, wearing suits, you know, he's really feeling himself type of thing. And it was going really good in terms of that. And then another time was during the Shield, where like around the time where they were pushing him for the Royal Rumble, not the year that he won, but like the year that he was just, I think he was like the very last, when Batista won, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was feeling himself there too. Like, yeah, like, you know, none of these guys are jokes. I'm going to throw everybody, including you two jokers type of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, just give him that attitude of like everybody sucks. Like, I got, you know, I'm the man, like you said. Like, I don't care if you're a Hall of Famer. I don't care if you're, you know, you're Brock Lesnar, you know, I'm going to, yeah, believe in the Shield, you know, type of thing. So,
yeah, yeah.
I totally agree with what you're saying.
And I don't think there's a better character really in anything, books, movies, video games, wrestling, than the guy that's so cocky and he sucks. Like, to where he's like, oh, man, there's not even a contest. They should just give me the belt right now. And then he goes out and like gets eliminated in 10 seconds. But then it doesn't like, it doesn't break his spirits. And he's like, no, man, I just got bored. I didn't want to stay in there that match. But, you know, like they'll never acknowledge the fact that they lost ever. Like Ric Flair made a career out of that. Name me how many times Ric Flair ever won matches. He never won anything. But Ric Flair is the freaking man. Like, yeah. Four Horsemen, baby. Like, but Ric Flair was a genius. Yeah. Oldest ride in the park, but got the longest line. And like, so, but that's the thing. He had shit like that and it's gold. And you're like, this guy's a genius. And then he loses every match for 5 years. And you're like, I don't fucking care. Like, let him lose. Right. That's great. Ric Flair's great. And
now all of a sudden, Halle Berry's name gets shot.
Yes. Oh my God. Ridiculous.
I was like, oh man, Ric Flair's still doing it.
he's crazy. Oh, yeah. I love Ric.
He had that one in the chamber. He's just waiting for something.
Just the time. to do it.
Yeah, just time to take this out.
Oh man. Yeah. But yeah, that's a perfect example. Just really have, and you know, no one's really gonna have the charisma of Ric Flair, but have Roman try to approach that type of stuff. Like, have him talk about how he's the hottest shit in the world. And then have him lose for like 4 months. But it doesn't bother him. He's like, nah, I'm good. Because I think it could, I really do think it could work. Cause I think he's talented enough to be able to pull it off. And like, he just comes in and like, he has a big lounge chair and he's wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, like a tourism shirt. You know what I mean? Really bad cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Just chilling out. And he's like, oh, I know I have a match. No, I'm just relaxing before my match, man. Like, he just doesn't take it serious. Yeah. He's drinking stuff out of a coconut or a pineapple or something, but they're like in Milwaukee, so it really doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, how did you get all this stuff? Just have him be kind of a comedy gimmick for a bit, but have him still be able to hold his own, because I mean, his presence is just like, he's got it. He's whatever the it factor is, he has it. But just let him have fun for a little bit before you start putting the whole weight of the company on his entire shoulders. let him be himself. Let him have some fun. Let him crack some jokes. Let him experience it a little bit. And then it's going to build that goodwill that the fans are more likely to accept him when he is the man. Because that's it. You don't want to set up people because that's going to kill ratings. I mean, no one's going to want to watch a champ they don't want to watch. It's just bottom line. Totally. If something's being forced down their throat, I mean, look at what happened during the whole like ruthless aggression era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you had amazing talent, but nobody wanted to watch it. Like that's when John Cena first came out and he still had his gimmick of the white rapper and you still had like Chris Benoit, you still had Eddie Guerrero, you still had all these guys that are like legends and no one wanted to watch it just because they were forcing weird things and it just wasn't working. And I mean, you had freaking Shelton Benjamin versus Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? Like that's the type of stuff you had, but no one really, it wasn't very exciting. It's just about how you book it. Just about how you book it. But I think that'll do it for episode number 4, the big whammy. The four, hey, four horsemen, four episodes of Brethren Around.
That's it,
man. That's it, brother. But yeah, subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us those ratings. We definitely appreciate it. Big shout out to all you listening on iTunes, on your devices and podcasts right now. You can also hit us up on YouTube. We got them YouTube archives. That go up. But of course, head up comedyhobo.com, man. We got some forums. I need to get back on those forums. Hit up the forums. We got the podcast syndication there. We got different videos, YouTube stuff, all sorts of fun stuff over there. And of course, go check out Mr. Nerd in the Bay himself, Marco Flores. Go check out that YouTube channel if you haven't already. A ton of great content as far as mobile devices, mobile games. See, I need you to get on that VR so I can hear what you have to think about it. You're the mobile expert. I want to hear what you got to say about mobile VR.
Right, I guess so.
You know. So, but that'll do it. I'm Wes Gardner. That's Mr. Marco Flores. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, all that fun stuff. But until next time, keep brothering around, hanging in there, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Peace, guys.